As the body of Christ, we are a family. But we're all at different maturity levels. It's often difficult to teach a class of people at different levels. I'm sure some of you are very much aware of this, especially when you have the difference in levels between the two kids. Well, it's the same in the church. You have people with not a whole lot of knowledge and some people with quite a bit. If you play to those who don't have a lot of knowledge, then you bore the those with a lot of knowledge, the more mature Christians. If you they're not challenged, the more mature Christians are not challenged as much as they should be. The less mature Christians then are overwhelmed if you play to the more mature Christians. So we have to find some way of balancing that. And of course, that's the responsibility of the teachers and the preacher to try to find a way of balancing that. But what I want to talk about today is a reminder, essentially, of the Christian's life cycle and how it actually mirrors that of the life cycle of a human being. And we're going to talk about rebirth, because as opposed to birth, right? We're born, but then when we're born again, that is a rebirth. We're going to talk about nourishment, growth, and perfection. And those are the 4 points we're going to look at today. I know this is a bit of a break from our Leviticus class. So, for rebirth, the Bible describes those who first become Christians as a new man, as a new creature. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul writes that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt. We talked a little bit about that this morning. The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He is a new man, a new creature in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Many of you have been parents, and you know what it's like to hold a baby in your arms, a baby that you helped bring into this world, and you realize just how helpless that baby is and how much that baby needs you to provide for it, to take care of it, to feed it, to put it down, to put the child, to change the child, to do all these things that need to be done. It is very much like taking care of a new Christian. I mean, you're not changing them, but you are feeding them, and you are taking care of them in a lot of ways. And especially in the tender formative years, trying to get them to recognize the right direction to go. And as a new baby, as a new babe in Christ, they're not going to know that new direction right away. And whenever a child does something not quite right, coloring outside of the lines, for instance, what do? To the child? You say, okay, that's nice. You color outside of the lines a little bit. You'll improve as you get older, right? You're not going to say, no, you colored outside the lines. You're not going to punish them for that. Because that's the same way with a new Christian. You're not going to, they might say something here or there that's not quite right. But if it doesn't affect their salvation, it's okay. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Because if we harp on a young Christian right away for something that isn't that big of a deal, something they can learn as they get older, as they mature in Christ, then we run the risk of driving them away. And then they'll end up starving themselves. And that's not where we want to be as Christians. Jesus described this as being born again in his conversation with Nicodemus in John 3:3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As with any new parents or new birth, there are many growing pains that go along with that, both with the child and the parents. If you've not been a parent before, you learn a bunch of new stuff about how to be a parent. And every child is different. You find that out with, if you have more than one child. The children are motivated by different things. The children are, if they're disciplined, different disciplines work. Some don't, depending on the child. Spanking works on one child, but it doesn't work on the other. Taking away their toys works on one child, doesn't work on the other. Timeouts. Different things that you might think of to discipline them. Some work and some don't. You got to find the right way to do that, the right way to teach the new Christian, the babe in Christ, and to bring them to have a better understanding. The children must learn and grow on their own. Or rather, let's take that back. Let's reverse that a little bit. They must grow to learn on their own. Just as a child eventually will have to learn on their own, we have to give the new Christian tools so that they know how to grow on their own. Because if they don't grow on their own, they're not going to make it. We can only do so much. Again, it's like as a child grows up. You feed them and you're feeding them the bottle or you breastfeed them. You take care of the child. You make sure every couple of hours you take care of them. But as they get older, they learn to feed themselves. And just like with us, or just like with new Christians, they have to learn to somehow feed themselves, and we have to teach them how to feed themselves and how to do so properly. And parents need to learn how to teach as well, just as we need to learn how to teach these new Christians. This includes those who are more spiritually mature. And you know what? This takes patience, right? We need to be patient with those who are new Christians. As I said, they're not going to learn everything right away. They're not going to know everything. And if we get on them for little things here or there, then they'll get discouraged. It's kind of like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We need to be able to not provoke young Christians to wrath. Now, that's not always easy because if they're doing something very wrong, we need to be able to rebuke them for it. But at the same time, do so with the right attitude of love, which we'll get to in a little bit. Let us be patient with our new converts. Many of them have so much religious baggage that they are carrying with them. They've learned so many things that are not right. And depending on the severity, of course, if it affects their salvation, if they're involved in a deep sin, of course we have to tell them that they need to repent of that and change. But we don't have to call them out on everything right away. Keeping in mind that you no doubt said some pretty off things that weren't right when you first became a Christian. Now, I know if you were raised in the Churches of Christ, you might not have. But if you weren't, you know. So one of the things that I said in a class at some point, one of the teachers said, should we revere men? And I said, some men. And I had in my mind, let me tell you who I had in my mind. I had in my mind Martin Luther and the pastor of the church I just came out of. people that we should revere. And then he said, no, we shouldn't revere anybody. We should revere Christ. He is the ultimate person to revere. So sometimes we say things that aren't quite right after conversion. That doesn't mean we need to be harped on. But we do need to be corrected at some point. You may have been corrected on whatever thing you said wrong right there, or you may have realized it was wrong later. Whatever the case, we are to nourish our new converts. Infants have a built-in, so we're talking about nourishment now. Infants have a built-in alarm system for whenever they are hungry. They'll let you know. They're going to cry. They will let you know if they are hungry. Every 2 or 3 hours, they must be fed or they will be malnourished. And potentially, if they're not fed properly, they may even die. A newborn Christian is similar, but the signs for hunger are not always so obvious. They might not cry out as an infant will. Regardless of our age, we need nourishment, both physical and spiritual. But the youngest among us need it the most. These early years are formative and will be very influential in how they will continue to grow and to operate as a Christian. Ideally, one ought to have the desire to grow right after becoming a Christian. But not everybody does. When I was first baptized, I was given, you know, the books that I've been handing out our new converts is the beginning of our confidence. There are booklets that I've been handing out to them, and they study them. There's 7 weeks of studies, 49 studies daily to get the new Christian to get into the habit of studying their Bible daily. Man, you know what I did with that when I was first baptized? I did not limit myself to one a day. I did several a day because, man, I wanted to eat this stuff up. Because it was a brand new way of thinking for me. And I was just so amazed at what I had learned. I was actually able to understand the Bible now. Before, it seemed like it was just words. But now it was starting to make sense. And not everyone approaches it in that same way. Some people, they're not quite as voracious when it comes to how they take in this spiritual nourishment. Whatever the case, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2:2, we discussed this in our Peter class several weeks ago, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire that pure milk of the Word. Let us have that desire every day. Let us also be fed by those who have the desire to teach us and the patience to do so. They are told, Jesus tells Peter in John chapter 21, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And in that context, we understand it means to teach them the right way, to feed them this spiritual nourishment. We note, we talked about this several months ago when we looked at the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're going to make sure, do our very best to see that you receive that proper nourishment. And I pray that those of you who are more mature in Christ will help those who are less mature in Christ. Next, let us consider growth. Let us consider growth. Peter wrote that the purpose of desiring that pure milk of the Word in 1 Peter 2:2 is to grow, that you may grow thereby. Our babies will grow naturally as we feed them. You might have noticed how fast my babies have grown since we've been here. And just how much they've changed and grown. It's all too fast. But a new Christian is not always that way. There are some who remain baby Christians for decades. And really, that shouldn't be. That should not be, but it happens. The writer of Hebrews, we looked at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14 earlier. The writer of Hebrews, he admonished the Jewish Christians that they were dull of hearing. We can see that in verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. He wanted to talk about, in chapter 5, he wanted to talk about this neat aspect of Christ, and that he was of the order, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and that's a fun thing to talk about and something that can really help you in your understanding, but you become dull of hearing. You don't quite understand that. He goes into more detail about that in chapter 7, perhaps for those who aren't dull of hearing. But for those who are, they were still needing milk and not needing and couldn't handle the solid food. They were not growing as they should. Peter further commands, and I've talked about this especially last week, in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to grow and to help our brothers and sisters grow. Take those baby steps. Take those baby steps with them so one day they will be able to stand on their own. Now we're watching Seth as he's learning how to stand on his own and walk on his own. And it's been wonderful to see. Just if you, again, if you have kids, as many of you do, you know how wonderful that is, just to see your children grow and reach these milestones. It just, I know every child does it just about, but it fills your heart with love and pride to see your child do that. And that's also the case with our spiritual children, those who are babes in Christ. As we see them grow and mature, it fills our heart with warmth and pride as they do so. Now, we shouldn't take pride in ourselves, surely not, but boast in the Lord, as Paul was said to do. This will lead them and us to spiritual maturity, to perfection. Now, in Scripture, the word that's often translated as perfect, now I'm not talking about perfectly sinless, because even the most spiritually mature among us will sin from time to time. Ideally, he or she will sin less than a new Christian, a new convert. But that person is said to be perfect. But it can also mean of full age or mature. That's what Paul meant in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He gave his reason for preaching. Him we preach, teaching every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He's talking about spiritual maturity. He wants to teach and to preach every man so that they may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, so that they can reach that spiritual maturity. Paul's goal was to make sure that those that he taught could reach that level of maturity. Our goal ought to be heaven. Our ultimate goal ought to be heaven. Those who have been born again, nourished in the Word, they grow in grace and knowledge, and they reach this state of maturity, those people will make it there. Not everyone, of course, will make it to spiritual maturity. They might pass away before reaching that state. But as long as we are on that path to maturity, our home will be in heaven. But we cannot stop being nourished, and we cannot stop growing, lest we die and miss our chance at heaven. We've got to continue to grow in our faith, grow in our spiritual walk, even as mature Christians. Because what happens if you do end up, if you are a mature Christian at this point, if you do stop growing, you'll end up falling away. It's like being on an on an, or it's like being on those, you know, at the airport, they have those, they're not escalators, but they're flat. They help you move a little bit faster. There are these, like these sidewalks that move, if you've never been to one of those. It's like if you stop moving on that, or you could say an escalator, that might work too. If you stop moving on an escalator that's going down and you're trying to go up, what happens? You go down. That's what it's like to stop growing. We need to continue to grow. Because you know that old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, that's what happens. If we don't use our knowledge of the scriptures, if we don't continue studying it and try to understand it, we're going to lose it. And it's not going to be beneficial for us as it could have been. At no point in our lives will we have made it. We will only have made it if we pass from this life. At no point will we be at a point where we no longer need to grow. That is easier for some than for others, but we should always strive to be better than we are today. For those, I recognize that there are some who can't even do some of those things, but if you can, do your best to grow. God's judgment is perfect. So if you have been born again and are diligently seeking to grow, heaven awaits. Heaven awaits. I pray that all of our new converts will be treated with the patience and love that they need. I pray that you will treat them with this patience and love. I pray that I will treat them with the patience and love that they need. We love all of our new converts just as God loves them, loves you. We want to see you in heaven one day just as God wants to see you there. What does he say in 2 Peter 3:9? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Please note that anything that we might say about a behavior or a belief that isn't quite right and needs to change is done out of a place of love. It's done out of a place of love. For those of you who are more mature, don't make a liar out of me. Please, don't make a liar out of me. I want our new converts to know that any correction we give them is out of a place of love. Please ensure that if you are more mature, that any correction that you might give to them is because you love them and want to see their soul in heaven. Do your best to make sure what you say to them cannot be misconstrued as anything other than loving admonition. Now, that's easier said than done. I realize that. Some people take things more personally than others. But do your best. Do your best. We are a family, are we not? Yeah. We are the family of God, and we should treat each other as family. I know some may have had a dysfunctional family growing up. We're not talking about that. The Lord's church is not meant to be a dysfunctional family. The Lord's church needs to be a healthy family. If you don't have a healthy example of a family to base this on, well, then base it on Jesus and the golden rule. We should treat them as we would want to be treated. Matthew 7:12. Let's also keep in mind 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. We are the family of God. If we need to correct a behavior, make sure that we treat that person like you love them, like they are part of your family, they are part of your blood, because they are part of your blood, part of your spiritual blood, because we all share in the blood of Christ. We love you, old and young alike, in Christ. old in Christ, young in Christ. We love you all. But we are not of that family unless we've been born again. Remember, we have to have that new birth. We have to make sure that we've been born again before we can be considered part of that family. Those of us who have been born again, if you haven't been continuing to grow, we want you to continue in that growth so that you can be that mature man or woman in the faith. If you need to make things right with God, you have that chance this evening. We want you, we love you, we want you to be in heaven. We want everyone in this room to go to heaven one day. And if there's anything that needs to be said that can help you get there, I pray that it is said, and that it's said in a loving way. If you need to make things right with God this evening, to confess a sin that you might need, that you might feel like needs to be confessed, or if you need to ask the prayers of the church to have, for whatever reason, we want you to make things right with God today. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.